26.
"Talbot," Spencer said, "you're part of this?"
Hanley walked over to Spencer and stood as the art dealer examined him. At least he seemed to be passing the visual test. Spencer was waiting for him to answer.
"Winston Spencer, you old—"
Hanley croaked. He sounded like a cheap PA system in a rundown school. Hanley moved the small device from his voice box and spoke in his normal voice. "Kevin," he said, "come take a look at this. I thought I had it dialed in right." Nixon walked over and flipped the device over. He took a pen from his shirt pocket and clicked a small toggle switch over two notches.
"You had the delay used for telephone transmissions engaged, boss," Nixon said. "Try it now."
"Hi, Winston," Hanley said. "Long time no see." Spencer stared at the man and shook his head. Had he not seen the device malfunction, he might have been all right. As it was, everything that had happened to him was rushing back in a flood. Now these people had created some kind of robot. Who knew what they might do next?
"Mr. Talbot," Spencer managed to say.
"I think you fixed it, Kevin," Hanley said. Spencer stood mute.
"Okay, everybody listen up," Cabrillo said. "It's almost time."
Detective Ling Po stared at the mass of melted metal. The support beams of the float had been twisted into grotesque shapes by the intense heat of the fire, and they were wrapped around the remains of the motorcycles like the blackened tentacles of an octopus. A handler with a dog was poking at one side of the wreckage.
"Sir," the handler said, "the dog is not signaling any human remains."
"Does that mean there are none?" Poe asked.
"Usually it would need to be an extremely hot fire to fully turn a corpse to ash. Anything less than that, he'll smell."
Poe glanced at the wreckage. It had melted the asphalt of the road, and parts of the metal support beams were embedded into the roadway. There was no way to tell with any certainty what was underneath.
"Hook a chain to the end," Poe said, "and drag it with one of the trucks. I want to see what's under there."
A fireman ran to remove a chain from the storage compartment on his truck. A few minutes later, he had one end secured to the wreckage and the other end to the truck's bumper. Slowly, the fireman eased the truck forward, and the wreckage was wrestled from down in the asphalt. After dragging it a few feet north, the fireman stopped his truck.
"Is that far enough?"
he shouted out the window to Poe.
"Perfect,"
Poe said, staring at the manhole cover. Bending down, Poe tried to lift the cover, but he had no luck. Another fireman removed a tool from the truck and slid it into the small opening on the manhole cover and pried it open. He slid the cover a few feet away. Poe removed a small flashlight from his pocket and shined it down into the hole.
"Bingo,"
he said. Reaching for his cell phone, he dialed the number for headquarters.
"Sir," he said, "I think I know where the Amma Temple Buddha went."
There are a total of 16 places in Macau where the storm runoff exits into the bay. Seng and his team were pulling up to the only one that mattered. After securing the Zodiacs to some rocks alongside the grate, Seng walked over and examined the metal shield. The square screen was made of tubular stock, with the openings measuring some 2 feet by 2 feet, or large enough to allow any trash to pass through. It was connected to the angled concrete slab that attached to the storm sewer by a series of large bolts. Seng walked back to the Zodiac and removed a toolbox. Finding the proper size socket, he attached it to a battery-operated wrench, and then walked back over to the grate and began to remove the bolts. Once the bolts were all free, Seng, Huxley, Murphy, and Kasim positioned themselves on all four corners of the grate and lifted it free. The water was racing out of the outflow, and on the far side, Murphy and Kasim had some trouble pulling the grate onto the rocks. Once it was out of the way, everyone stared into the opening.
"It's becoming a river in there," Huxley said finally.
Seng threw a strip of bright yellow plastic in the stream and then timed the movement. He stared at the second hand of his watch intently. Once the piece of plastic was 50 yards out in the inner harbor, he calculated the speed.
"The water's flowing about 10 miles an hour," he said. "But you know that's going to increase."
"Piece of cake for the Zodiacs," Murphy said.
Seng nodded.
"As long as we don't run out of headroom," Kasim said, "we should be able to collect our boys and be back on the Oregon in an hour or so."
Seng started walking back to the Zodiac.
"Okay, you two," Seng said. "Drive on in and collect the team. Julia and I'll be providing security, just like we planned.
Be back shortly, Kasim said as he climbed behind the wheel.
If only it'd be so easy.